Today we are continuing in our Angels of Advent series, those biblical encounters with the angels that conveyed the message of the coming birth of the Christ child, of how God interacted with ordinary people, people just like you and me, to prepare the way of the Lord. Today we're going to explore Zechariah and the angel. Next Sunday, we'll get to hear the story of the angels from Mary's perspective. And on the fourth Sunday of Advent, which this year is also Christmas Eve, we'll hear about the proclamation of the birth of the Christ child given to the shepherds in the field. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years. At first, this statement from Zechariah seems to be more of an innocent statement on his part. However, it's not. You see, he's actually whining. Oh, yeah? Well, how? I'm old, my wife is old. She should have hit him right then. I'm old, my wife is old. How are we going to have a kid? And before we judge Zechariah a little hard, we are today, but before we do that, we got to remember we whine a lot too. Or at least I do. I'm getting old, my eyesight's not what it used to be. I got tinnitus in my ears, whining away. I got aches and pains in my fingers and my knees. I'm getting old. I'm running down. I'm getting tired. It's time to quit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's called whining, friends. I do it all the time, too. Kind of reminds me of Abraham and Sarah, even. Remember them from the book of Genesis? They've been expecting a child, and God had long before promised them a child. But Abraham's now 90. Sarah's 80. They have no children. And that's when God comes and repeats this promise. This outlandish promise. This promise that tells us that God just doesn't understand things like menopause. I mean, come on, God. You're going to have children like the stars up in the heavens and the sands by the seashore. And Sarah laughs. I can't possibly have a kid. And when God asks her, why did you laugh? She backs away from it. She lies and says, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did, God said. It was a preposterous thought that an 80-year-old woman could conceive and bear a child. And here today, we have another elderly couple without children. For decades, they've tried and tried and tried to have children. But for whatever reason, Elizabeth never conceived. And this is an important family. This is a high priestly family. And not just Zechariah, but Elizabeth too. She's from the family of Aaron. Important people. Holy people in the Jewish society. Not blessed with children. And so the rumoring must have been going on. Something must be wrong with them. But Zechariah is going about his business, going about his work, doing his duty as a priest, serving in the temple. You know, he's pretty high up in his order of ministry, kind of like a district superintendent, and he's in charge of major aspects of temple worship. He'd been chosen that day by lot to enter into the Holy of Holies and before the high altar of God, make an incense offering to Yahweh Elohim, before the high altar of God, where God's Shekinah glory comes and rests. He is there to make an offering. In the middle of doing his job, in the middle of doing what he's supposed to do, then and there by the table of incense, a great, big, enormous, powerful, frightening angel appears. And as always happens, the angel says, "Don't be afraid." When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Wait a minute. John? I thought we were in Advent, getting ready for the birth of Jesus. And now we're talking about some dude named John? Yep. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink." Well, I don't want to be John. Let's go home. "He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Pretty important dude. "He will turn away many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Aha! A forerunner to the Messiah, a forerunner to Jesus. Elijah is coming back. That's what this story is about. It's a story about preparation, about getting ready. That's the essence of Advent, isn't it? A time of getting ready. We're not quite ready yet to celebrate Jesus' birthday, but we're starting to get close. I still have presents to buy, nephews and nieces to buy for, Cade to buy for, some of you to buy for. I mean, I'm not ready. Are you? Thank you. No. I can remember Christmases when I'm going out on Christmas Eve morning to finish up the shopping. Thank God for Amazon. Wow. We're not ready yet. True spiritual preparation still needs to be done. We need to be made ready by God. And that's what John is supposed to do. This is John the Baptizer that we're talking about. His birth, his coming to prepare the way of the Lord. He'll cry out in the wilderness, "Make the way straight. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." And he will recognize the Messiah. He'll recognize Jesus when he walks by and says, "There goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's who we're talking about here. That's who the angel is announcing is coming. Zechariah asks, "How will I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." To put it into perspective, this would be as if God had spoken to my dad back when he was still alive and told them in his old age that he and my mom would have another kid. Had dad come home from work and said that to mom, you know what she would have done? Smacked him right in the face, right then and there. many of you, the incredible, dedicated, hardworking saints of Grace Church. You're here when the doors are open, volunteering in the office, working around the building, filling holes in the entry walk, repairing lights and walls and electrics and plumbing, repairing our building, painting and upgrading our houses, helping to fix and serve food on Tuesday nights, helping to prepare meals for the homeless the first day of the month, giving coats and clothes and food to the hungry and those who are cold, providing a safe place for people who've been marginalized to come to receive legal help and medical help. You've dedicated yourselves to service and to giving. But you've been around the sun more times than me. And even if this were said of me, after all, I don't have enough hair and a lot of it's gray now and I'm starting to look like Santa Claus, yes. I'm getting too old for this message too. It's kind of like that. Fantastic. Improbable, perhaps even impossible for us, but not for God. The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news." Gabriel, one of the archangels. Pretty important angelic dude here. Not a lowly lieutenant, but the commanding general of God's communication division. Sound like a communications director for the Almighty. Gabriel means God is my strength. And he's doing his job right here and right now, bringing a message to Zechariah. Zechariah, who just questioned the veracity of a message from the Most High God, disbelieving it and whining about it. Oops. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. In other words, don't doubt the word of an angel, and especially not one who has the name God is my strength, one who stands in the presence of the Almighty. Usually in the biblical world, humans go on their faces in the presence of God, but not Gabriel. Gabriel stands in the presence of the Almighty. Another way of looking at this is all of our objections are silenced when faced with the amazing reality of the presence of God. And that's where this is happening. It's in the Holy of Holies. It's in the temple in Jerusalem, right there next to the altar of incense, right where God's Shekinah glory is expected to radiate. In the Holy of Holies, that's where this is said. That's where Zechariah heard it, and that's where he whined. We're called to expect the unexpected, to be open to the unlikely, the improbable, and yes, even the impossible. And yet Zechariah questioned the angel. He questioned God's messenger. "How will I know that this is to be so? For I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years." He came up with excuses for why it can't be done, or why it's not likely, or why he doubted it would happen. We're too old, we're too weak, we're too poor, we're too few, we're too ignorant. Kind of reminds me of Moses at the burning bush when God called him. And he whined and said, "I can't talk for you, God, I stutter." That's what Zechariah is doing. He's whining. Almost like he's saying, "Took you long enough, God. Now we're too old. It's impossible. How will I know this is so? For I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years." All of Zechariah's doubts, questions, and whinings, wham, are brought to an end with Gabriel's response. "But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. Since you can't speak with faith, but will only whine and complain, you're not going to say anything at all until you see these things come to pass. Likewise, our doubts, our complaints, our whining should come to an end when God speaks to us. Only they don't. We will still find ways to whine and complain, don't we? I do. That's one of the challenges I face in my own life. I question, I whine and complain rather than trust. Last week we heard about Joseph and the angel, about Jesus who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we saw how Joseph didn't argue with the angel, he obeyed, remember? As important as Joseph is, as important of a character as Joseph is in this passage in the scriptures, in the story of Jesus, Joseph didn't have a speaking part. He didn't say a word anywhere in the story. Instead, he simply wakes up and obeys what the angel tells him to do. He responds with faith. Unlike Zechariah, who doubts and complains, Joseph's response was faith, trust, hope, expectation. And it should be our response, too. What happened next? Well, Zechariah goes home, mute and unable to speak. But apparently he's willing to respond and to act in faith, because right after he gets home, Elizabeth conceives. It's miraculous, wondrous, exactly what the angel said to expect. She gets pregnant. And next Sunday we'll hear about the angel's announcement to Mary that she's going to conceive and bear a child. And after that announcement, about 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, with another 3 months ago, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean country town called Enkarim, where she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child, John, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy." That's amazing. Zechariah's words were ones of doubt and complaint. Elizabeth's words were ones of faith and hope and joy. This is an interesting element in the Gospels. We see it repeatedly in many of the stories in Jesus' ministry. Also here in the birth narratives and later in the resurrection accounts. The men often doubt and complain. The women believe and proclaim. Did you get that? The men question, the men doubt, the men complain, the men whine. The men run away, the men deny. The women, they believe and proclaim. The first woman to proclaim the Christ's presence was Elizabeth, proclaiming faith. And that's the true point of this story. Hearing and believing, yes, but then acting and proclaiming, which is faith. Belief in motion. Belief doing something. What do you believe God is saying to you? What is God calling you to do to prepare to celebrate the birth of the Christ child yet again? How is God calling you to respond? Will you doubt the message of God? Or will you accept it? Elizabeth clearly accepted it. She conceived a child with Zechariah because of it. She also recognized God's love and presence in Mary when her young, freshly pregnant cousin came to visit. Will we accept it too? Will we listen and turn to face God's angels in our lives and receive the message, the good news of Jesus the Christ, and share it with others? This week, I invite you to think clearly in your life about what God is calling you to do, how God is calling you to prepare this Advent season to celebrate the birth of the Christ child in your life. What direction is God leading you? How is God calling you to share God's love with all? Advent is a time not just for waiting, it's a time for making ready, for preparing for the one who will change everything. How is God calling us to make ready our lives, the lives of others, the lives of a world that needs to see the light of the Prince of Peace, the light of God's love? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God's peace. In your